No rules. No rules. No taboo topics. No taboo topics. No fear of doom. No fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Come gather our people wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing.
Welcome back, folks. Welcome back to the Vinny Eastwood Show. I am the co-host, Will, and Vinny's had to take off, folks, because a fairly serious personal family issue going on. So, our prayers are with Vinny right now, and let's hope he can enjoy the rest of the day, actually. We will carry on without Vinny, and we have an exciting guest, actually, coming up for the second hour. Gordon Duff, a producer, has arranged this anyway for the second hour of the show today, and Gordon's got great intel, apparently, on a few issues I'm totally unaware of, a missile off the coast of California, apparently. So, anyway, we will wait with bated breath for Gordon. Until then, we carry on pressing on with the vital issues. Gordon Duff, yeah, the California mystery missile. It turns out that there has been a submarine launch off the California coast on November 8th, with billions of dollars capable of carrying up to 10 hydrogen bombs, launched 2 minutes from Los Angeles, and people were utterly unaware. Okay, so claims come from individuals such as Wayne Mazden, another activist also, that it was fired from a Chinese submarine. So seems to be rampant speculation over whether it was China or some U.S. black ops program that's not being disclosed officially by the military. More speculation over Iran and Pakistan and whether these test missiles for what could be deployed there, perhaps. Obviously, in the past, since 2006, we've seen huge U.S. military naval might surrounding Iran, but so far not a shot fired. So it'll be interesting to see whether Gordon can come up with anything conclusive on this issue, or whether it's just one of those mystery Babylon topics we keep running into time and time again. It's quite frustrating when you've got governments operating with such secrecy that we can't get anything conclusive. People say that's what conspiracy really fires from, really springs from, don't they? They say governments keep things secret. They have 25, 50, 100-year secrecy acts they pass, like the Blair government passed, Iraq details. That's the UK government passed a 100-year secrecy act protecting a lot of the pertinent details of the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. And, you know, people say, well, that really breeds conspiracy. That's why we have conspiracy theories. It's because governments keep things secret. And, you know, I disagree 99%. You know, it's not what we don't know about 9/11 that leads to 9/11 conspiracies. It's what we do know that 100% contradicts, 180 degrees opposes the official government accounts from that day. It's what we do know about the murder of JFK or Princess Diana's death. And a lot of these things, it's what we do know that contradicts the official story to the point where you can't have two stories coexisting, to the point where you can't have, for instance, with 9/11, we know that kerosene, avgas, can't burn at beyond 980 degrees Celsius. We also know that for a lot of the steel to become molten, it had to have been above 1520 degrees Celsius, medium carbon construction steel. You know, so we've got this huge 500 degrees Celsius at least gap, knowing that avgas and pure oxygen, by the way, burning clean, not thick black smoke plumes that we saw from the World Trade Centers. You know, like So there is a small snippet of information that you can look into that contradicts the official story of 9/11 to the point where the official story of 9/11 just can't be. It just can't be 100% true. And then when you start looking at all the other coincidences on that day, you realize that there is very, very, very little that is right about the official 9/11 story. Some of the Arabs' names involved may be right, may be wrong. We know a lot of them seem to be patsies on some sort of payroll for the US government. We know that they were trained in areas like Pensacola Naval Air Base, lived on FBI properties in the Florida region, and we know about the Able Danger program involved in getting them through the Canadian border under high-level security passes, just straight through customs, shepherded through onto US soil. So, you know, conspiracy doesn't really come from pure secrecy alone so much as just huge, glaringly obvious to those with eyes to see it, contradictions. You know, let's wind back 2 years now, when, well, almost 2 years anyway, when Barack Obama sealed the deal. Then obviously his inauguration in January of 2009, and there was a huge amount of support for this guy. There was a huge amount of support for Barack Obama on the ground here in New Zealand. Many good friends of mine, I know some people who were in tears that day. No one could believe that, you know, this black man, had become president of the United States. So that overrode any of the politics, which is quite sad. It's like, it's almost racism of another kind. It's like, I don't know how you call it. It's like positive discrimination or something, where they employ people based upon a criteria that would normally lead to people's discrimination against, you know, like it's positive racism, I feel, to separate someone from a crowd and to be in glee of their success purely on the basis of their race. Something strange about that. But now, 2 years on, more and more, people have got over the fact he's black. They've got over the fact he wasn't born in a manger and is not from kryptonite. And now people are starting to see that this guy, you know, in the first 8 months, accumulated more debt for the United States than almost 230 years and 40-odd presidents before him. You know, people are starting to realize that. More cumulative debt than every president before him in 8 months. Some people are still making excuses and saying, well, he was landed into a difficult situation. He was dumped in the mud and, you know, he's got to drag America out of it. And of course there's going to be collateral. Of course there's going to be debt. Some people say that. But people who can look at the situation with discernment can realize that no country has ever taxed itself into financial prosperity. You know, that's the key there. No country has ever used a socialist model or a fascist model or a Marxist model to pull itself out of a slump and to lend itself towards a diverse, free, a system that empowers life, empowers people, empowers small businesses, empowers, you know, just the shoots to spring up. It doesn't happen with the sort of regime that this velvet glove and an iron fist man, Barack Obama, is running. And now his smiley face is starting to wear thin on people. And good. Some people saying, keep giving him a chance. It's only been 2 years. Hey, you wait until the end of 4 years. You know, I hope America can pull itself out of it, but you wait to the end of his term. And I sure as hell hope he doesn't get re-elected or they rig the machines again. But I'd say Barack Obama's going to be out, but he's going to create a whole bunch of trouble. So it'd be too little too late. But then some people are still saying, well, stop beating up on the black guy. You know? I actually like being mixed race in this equation. I actually like being a little bit black. I can say these things without people so much saying I'm racist. I can say it to their face. I can tell them about Barack Obama and they can't use the race card on me so much. You know? Any white folk tries to do the same and you intelligently criticize Barack Obama, they're a racist. That's how ridiculous it's got. Totally insane. All these people saying, shut up, don't criticize a president, you're a racist. How? why can't we have an intellectual debate? No one was saying that when George W. was in. They were saying you're a hippie or you're this or you're that. You're a leftist if you criticize the conservative. The conservative George W. who grew government by 300% at least. Now, the central pillar is, though, and it happens here in New Zealand, and it's happening in the UK, and it's happening in the US, we can't spend ourselves out of debt. We can't keep allowing the central banks to print more and more, issue more and more fiat currency into our system, which devalues our current currency more and more. And no one can understand that. No one can understand that if you had 100 collectors Aston Martin DB7s, you know, straight from... You know, the ones that were used in the first Bond movies. It was DB5 or DB7. Anyway, if you took a hundred of those Aston Martins, beautiful British V12, amazing classic cars, worth about $200,000 to $300,000 New Zealand dollars at least. Yeah, about $250,000 US. And if you had 100 of those cars, and then all of a sudden Aston Martin brought out 10,000 more, and they flooded the market. What do you think would happen to the value of those cars? What do you think would happen to the price? And that's what they do with dollars. A lot of people can't get that through their heads, and it comes down to people like us, the listeners of this show, and all the Patriot movement across the United States, and the growing movements here in New Zealand and around the world. It comes down to us to tell our neighbours these things as we can, in opportunities that we get, which is a lot of the time, incidentally. People are always complaining about money. People are always complaining about having to work. People are always complaining, you know, you want to know why you've got to work so many hours? You want to know why you can't get the basic luxuries you used to be able to, and, you know, have a nice car or a nice house or a boat even, and take it out and enjoy time with the kids? You want to know why? These guys are spewing more fake cash that they print, no, for about 3 cents or something. I think a US dollar bill costs the US government about 3 cents to produce, something like that. Well, it costs the taxpayer. And they're just pouring it out, pouring it truckloads of it, pouring it out faster than you can burn it. What do you think's going to happen? And then they're using that fiat currency to buy real things and consolidate your country under them. And then their other arm, the leftist arm of the evil capitalist system, the UN... Then goes and owns your country under the UN development under the UN Environmental Program, under the Environmental Protection Program, the EPP. They own most of your parks now. Now they rolled into the Grand Canyon a few years back, put up their UN signs, started tolling people. You know, the cheek of them. They're doing the same here in New Zealand. A lot of the indigenous people are falling for it. Because the UN's got this loving nature. The UN tells America they're bad, and they tell whoever they're bad, so the UN must be good, right? The good parent figure. We'll be back on the Vinnie Eastwood Show. The websites are AmericanFreedomRadio.com and TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. And we'll be right back. I want to dump it.
Habit-forming. Use the truth carefully.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. I am your host, Will, for today. And Vinnie has had to depart us, unfortunately, due to family issues. But hopefully he'll be back with us tomorrow, and we will try and press on without his big energy. He really is full of... He really is a big ball of energy, Vinnie. Pretty impossible to curb. I've been to many public event and protests with Vincent Eastwood, and tell you what, he's pretty out of control sometimes, in a good way. I can be out of control too. It's just, yeah. I guess we're a good handbrake to each other at times, and you've got to have people like that. You know, if you're getting riled up like us, and you're going to go up to public events, and most of the listeners here probably already have done, probably for longer than myself. I encourage the ones who haven't to actually get out there and go up and face some of these scumbag politicians and people wrecking your town personally, because it really is an experience. It's sometimes boring, sometimes pointless. Sometimes you walk away feeling dejected and like there really wasn't anything lost or gained. But it's important to do it nonetheless. It's important just for a reality check, just to see, okay, this is how they roll. They are gangsters. They don't give a damn about you or what you have to say. They call it democratic. They say it's not mob rule. They say it's not elitism. They say it's not fascism. And then you just watch the way they operate. And then their minions who just reflect on them in society, you know, like I was saying earlier, this insurance company I had to deal with yesterday. This woman just spouts down the phone to me, you have two options. You know, both options were crap in my opinion. And I said, look, you get paid all this money, for never made a claim, and here you are over a marginal amount of money, making life difficult for weeks. And so I proposed a solution to her, and you know what her answer was? She told me she'd send me a check in the mail for the figure I'd rejected, and that was an end of the conversation. It was over, and she hung up. And the crazy thing is about these insurance companies, they're just like the criminal government. They either give you a fake name or they hide their name completely. You can't look them up anywhere. They're like shadows. They're like agents. Because they have to protect themselves because customers might get angry. Yeah, you bet. I wonder why customers might get angry. You bet. If I found out who this lady was who treated me like a piece of dirt yesterday, I'd be all over her today. And it's the accountability at local government. Like, we need to put more... Decentralizing government is the key. And that's the beauty about, you know, the 10th Amendment. States' rights. But in New Zealand, it's just more and more consolidation of, you know, conglomerates of councils. They all run like businesses. And there's no accountability. This is not the time and the place to discuss this, sir. Shut up. You keep pressing on with them. You have to get security. You're out of hand. And most of the other crowd around you, you'd be surprised. Do you think people come to your aid in such scenario? You think if you're at a public meeting, and everyone there is meant to be a concerned citizen, you're like, great, there's a big full hall of people. There's lots of concern here. It's one thing turning up. There's another thing finding people with concern, though. A lot of the people that turn up to these things are like little minion lapdogs, slaves of the system. And they just love having been told to shut up their whole life. You know, their parents slapped them around when they were young, told them to respect their elders and all this sort of stuff. Part of it true. Then they view the government the same way. Hey, shut up, William. They're the expert. They've been running stuff. You're not qualified to have an opinion. All this sort of stuff. I always encourage people to go out there and do it, because we need more people who can actually think in terms of facts rather than, you know, brown Barack Obama faces and feel-good feelings. You know, like, we need people who can actually discern facts and figures and break down patterns and analyze things intelligently. Because the rest of central government, I tell you, is like 80, well, I don't know, maybe 70% moron, and then 30% evil genius. And then all the morons just mop up for the evil genius, psycho scientist types running things. And the morons are like their little muscle to protect them. Just like a gang kingpin, you know, there'll be a couple of smart guys at the top, the rest are just skullcrackers, you know, just retards. And they won't let you get close. And New Zealand's just got, like, the whole country's under Stockholm Syndrome, I tell you. They just love their captors so much. You criticise one, they think you must love the other. So I criticise John Key quite a lot. People were like, yeah, man, Helen Clark was awesome. I love Helen Clark too. Just assuming, it's just this massive assumption that if you don't like Mafia Team 1, you must like Mafia Team 2. You know? So if you don't like sharks, you must like swimming with stingrays instead. And it's just insane. And I come up against it all the time. And then you criticize Helen Clark, you know, New Zealand's former prime minister, is now number 3 in the UN, running the development program over there, sterilizing Africa. You criticize her. People are like, yeah, John Key's great. The conservative leader, John Key, is great. Great man. I agree with you. So they both do it. It's mental illness on both sides. And this is when, you know, the truth movement goes on a lot about how left and right is all a big scam and everything else. Well, you know, those are just words. But when you actually go out and see it and do it, it's real. You get to realize it's real. So, yeah, both sides are completely mental. And they both say the same mental stuff about each other. And you see they're both wrong. Because neither are talking about anything to do with currency issuance, anything to do with big foreign debt, anything to do with poisoning the food and water. Now, when I first started going out to New Zealand, all the protest groups around here are run by commies. I tell you, there is not one right-wing-libertarian conservative activist group in this country. When I started to organize people to try and, you know, get 15, 20 people together to do 9/11 style activism on the street, a lot of the people I got were leftists. That's okay. We could put that aside, you know, in favor of let's just agree on 9/11. But the problem is when you start getting involved and relations get deeper and people ask questions and there's a lot of, you know, just humans talk with social beings, there turned up being a big load of disputes over political lines. There I was stupidly thinking that 9/11 truth would somehow transcend all that and smash those boundaries. There I was stupidly thinking that you could show anyone a video of Building 7 and they'd realize 9/11 was an inside job. I mean, there are just a lot of things that I sort of assumed until you get out on the street and you meet people and you discuss things with people. And it's so disappointing. There's more stupid than you could imagine, you know, like just, you know, total strangers would come up off the street, total strangers have become best friends of mine, and then friends have become total enemies. Like that's the way it seems to go. And all over these false political lines, that all these people who then become your enemy for some reason, don't even understand, don't want to understand, don't care about ultimately. They don't care enough to investigate something, but they care enough somehow to argue with you until they're red in the face. And it all goes back, in my mind anyway, it all goes back to the sleight of hand illusion that party politics really is. It all goes back to this false left-right debate and how they've, you know, co-opted people's minds to the point where no one really knows anything that makes up the essence of political boundaries, really. No one knows what makes left, what makes right, really. They don't understand the central philosophies at work. They don't understand, you know, what a big government, nanny state, total taxation system does to people. It's going to kill this country. It's going to kill the United States. Also, unless we stand in the way, there's no one else out there who's going to stop it. No one's going to stop it. Hillary Clinton ain't going to stop it. Pelosi ain't going to stop it. Bill Clinton ain't going to stop it. Barack Obama ain't going to stop it. All these people work for a third party, shall we say. And then when you tell people that on the street, they just want to know, well, who are these people they're working for? You say they're puppets. Who are they puppets to? And they kind of want to run before they can walk. They want to know too much too soon, but then they don't want to know all the small things in between or the nitty-gritty. That takes a lot of research to work out, and you kind of got to do it yourself. And you can't force it down people. It actually takes, like, a personal interest. All their personal interests have been co-opted. And Lady Gaga, and football, and drinking, and, you know, stabbing people or something. Like it's just... movies about murderers and stuff. Like, it's just... Their half-full glass has been full. It's been full of crap for a long time. And it's very hard to reverse that. It comes down to their decision-making process. It comes down to whether they want to try and be a better person or not. And there's no money in that, and so most people don't. And so we're just, a lot of the time, the truth movement, we've got all the information in the world, all the facts in the world, not all of them, but, you know, more than enough to build an image of what's going on. More than enough for any one person to even handle. Good communication systems, and yet it seems to be all wasted upon these people because of a simple formula. And it's a formula that we're trying to push here on the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. So yeah, push yourself, push your friends, push your family. Find the boundaries. Find out who's really an ally of yours. Be right back. Join us on the other side.
Yo, what's up? Check this out.
The voice of the revolution. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Check to the mic, check 1, 2 from a crew coming through. Are you hype yet? Nowadays, everybody wanna talk, but we got someone on scribe. You got nothing when I'm up in the lobby. Can't front when you're feeling the vibe. You don't scribe.
Welcome back once again. Level to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
The plate when you ready to break. Y'all hit a man move like an RS. Super rude with the crew from a quick.
I'm your host for the remainder of the show today. We have a great guest, Gordon Duff, coming up next segment with a breakthrough story. Got a possible Chinese missile off the coast of California. Should be exciting. Politics is boring, though, isn't it? You know, we just got to break all these barriers down. We've got to, you know, spice it up a little bit. Anything. Maybe not sex and violence, but you know, anything to kind of get some of these slaves involved, you know? Like, come on. You know, break out of your chains and start engaging in the real world. It's so disappointing to just deal with all this fluff and crap and garbage every day, isn't it? It doesn't go anywhere. It's just so... It could only satisfy a nihilist, really. And if you're a nihilist, you know, how... What's the point of being a nihilist? The point is there is no point. There's no point to any day. So what's the point in going to work? What's the point in having children? What's the point in loving your neighbor? Why don't you just get the hell out of here? I mean, so we're not a nihilist show. We're not not a fan of theirs at all. Well, I'm certainly not. And that means there is meaning to life. That means there is meaning to what the criminals are doing to our countries and the meaning of how they're stepping on all our toes simultaneously and we're not fighting back. So... got some key statistics here just from New Zealand, and it's really in line with what we're seeing around the rest of the world. These are from the Reserve Bank of New Zealand's website, so not a conspiracy theorist site, I'd say. Unemployment is at record unseen high, about 11.8% unemployed. That's official. So those are people who have applied for the DOL, DPB, in the last 6 months. Real unemployment could be 150% of that. You know, at least. Looking at 12%, near 12% unemployment in New Zealand. Household debt decreased marginally over the last year. Still at about hovering between 14-12% of household income. Mortgage rates and interest rates on the whole are at a 30-year low. So what are we seeing? We're seeing them drop interest rates, which has been a precursor to any major crash. So unemployment's an all-time high, and yet you're trying to encourage people to borrow more. How does that make sense? Now, about 2 months ago, the Reserve Bank of New Zealand increased 90-day rates by about 0.25%. But by and large, if you look at the graphs from about 2008, 90-day rates went from 9% down to 2.5%. They're saying, hey, the economy is in free fall, you're losing your jobs, you're already in a huge amount of debt per capita. We're going to have a financial incentive here for you to borrow more. The housing market's in free fall also. And I think about it sometimes. I think, hey, a lot of these jobs are fake anyway. A lot of these, you know, real estate agents have been a prime motivator of this housing bubble also, because a real estate agent is just a middleman on these overinflated transactions anyway. So what do I care if these people lose their jobs? I could look at it from that point of view. All these paper pushers and consultants and idiot TV hosts, and I see that most of the workforce is idiocy. You know, of course they are. If they can't understand where the money comes from and they're out there earning so much, but calling themselves successful, of course I'm going to say they're idiots. But at the same time, I don't want to see them bankrupt. I don't want to see the whole country go under. That's not the way this needs to go. The way this needs to go is people in their own jobs, in their own compromised lives, wake up and realize what's going on. And then we as a society shift out of this corrupt model into something better. I don't want to see them on the side of the street and all the looting and violence that will stem from that. But those are the key graphs. Mortgage rates are down. 90-day rates are down. Household debt is up. Unemployment is up. All-time high in New Zealand. GDP's dropping. House prices are collapsing. The bubble's burst. It's just total contradictory, total disarray, and you know, the government of the day here in New Zealand just saying, hey, the economy's looking strong, we've got a strong taxation model. That's an official quote of theirs, strong taxation model. Unbelievable, isn't it? Unbelievable. Don't you see what we're saying makes sense when you look at the key facts on the ground, and then when you look at what the paymasters are saying? Don't you see that we are making sense here on the show? Don't you see that they are lying to you? They're lying the economy into complete dissolvement. They're going to dissolve you and your family soon.
Welcome. American Freedom Radio.
Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. .com and AmericanFreedomRadio.com. I'm your host for this hour, for the remaining hour, Will Ryan, and we have Gordon Duff coming on. Gordon Duff is a former Marine Vietnam veteran and now currently senior editor at Veterans Today. He has extensive experience in international banking, along with such diverse areas as consulting on counterinsurgency, defense technologies, and acting as a diplomatic officer of the UN in certain humanitarian groups. So we really look forward to having Gordon on. He's going to be joining us after our next ad break in a little more than 5 minutes. Gordon's really breaking some articles these days, and he's also, you know, been on TV and radio quite a lot, and has made quite a controversial name for himself. And he has just a new breaking story about this California mystery missile. It's quite, yeah, some quite, vague reports coming from official sources, but we'll see if we can help clear up the mist for us and really boil it down in a discernible way. Our producer, our marvelous producer, Mitch Santel, will also be joining us, I hope. And we can really kind of break through a few issues here. Gordon's website, for anyone wanting to have a look themselves, is veteranstoday.com. That's www.veteranstoday.com. And yeah, there really is a lot on the site here. Just having to browse through myself. Obviously got the Facebook and Twitter and MySpace going, and a lot of good writers here breaking down some pertinent issues. Sibel Edmonds, obviously the FBI whistleblower, who caused such a stir. She was the FBI translator, I believe, who came out and said 9/11 was an inside job, effectively, all those years ago, and copped the heat for it. So yeah, he's really drawing on some great people here, and I'm looking forward to picking Gordon's brain for a few minutes, for the remainder of this hour, in fact. And yeah, I mean, hopefully he can give some insight too into the financial climate as it stands, into the whole global collapse that's going on, and maybe even how New Zealand ties into that also for our Kiwi listeners here. But nonetheless, having someone from the UN is going to be kind of exciting, isn't it? We'll go easy on them, don't worry. We won't. Maybe. You have to wait and see. Join us on the other side at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. We'll be right back. Unity means solidarity. United we stand, and divided we fall. Unity, please don't desert me.
You're listening to the future of talk. American Freedom Radio. This is American Freedom Radio.
Listen to Time for Hemp, hosted by Casper Leach, Monday through Friday, 11 p.m. to 12 a.m. Central, only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
About there's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
to the fastest 2 hours of talk radio, the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will. And if you're wondering who I am, I'm Vinny and Will's somewhat fabulous producer, Mitch. And Vinny had a bit of a family emergency today, but I got to tell you, Vinny, you're in our prayers and hope everything's okay with the family. And Will, welcome back.
Thank you, Mitch. Thank you. Thank you for the glamorous intro. There you go.
No worries, mate. And great first hour. And thank you so much for sharing your philosophy of what's going on in New Zealand. You know, there's some stuff going on here. It's like everything that's going on in the States is going on here. Well,
yeah, New Zealand's a little agar dish, isn't it, really? And yeah, the most of the people are fairly inert, similar to agar also. Yeah, there's nothing I can't do here.
Do you feel that New Zealand is like the Petri dish of the Petri dish of the New World Order or something? It's like, you know, it's
something, man. Hey, you want a little culture with no resistance, and hey, come and run your stuff down here.
Wow,
I'm only inviting them because they're here anyway.
Well, I want to introduce our audience to Gordon Duff, who is a senior editor at Veterans Today. And just so our audience knows, even though Gordon didn't hear the introduction, Will, great introduction on Gordon Duff. He wrote an article that absolutely stirred my attention, and I just knew we had to get him on the air. It was an article entitled "An Epic American Failure," talking about the submarine launch of an ICBM. Off of Southern California. Gordon Duff, welcome to the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will.
Well, it's good to be here, guys.
We're so grateful to have you on the show today. And this story that you've just written at veteranstoday.com about this missile, what's going on with that story? It just seems like it's popping.
It's you know, it's not like someone's trying to sneak up on the U.S. We've been snuck up on so many times that it doesn't take much of an effort anymore. But 10 days ago, basically, let's make it November 8th, off Southern California, about 35 miles from Los Angeles, in the middle of the afternoon. An ICBM, which is, you know, a large intercontinental ballistic missile, came popping out of the water and headed off into space for wherever things like that go. We have a missile test range at Edwards Air Force Base about 40 miles away on shore. And we shoot missiles down the Pacific there all the time. The problem with this one, it isn't like the government couldn't have just come out and said, yeah, we were testing something out, and it was a big secret, so we're not going to tell you about it. The government came out and said, we don't know what it was. And then later, I think they said it was a plane or something else. But since it was filmed by news agencies, and we submitted the film to a missile test technician from the U.S. Navy, who examined the missile and identified it today as an ICBM. Since the government went in today, I mean, we're days late, and it's the silence that's the problem, but it was an ICBM, and it's not American. The U.S. government says they don't know where it came from, which is a little surprising. We had an article a few days ago from Wayne Madsen, who has an intelligence website online, and Wayne claims it's the Chinese and that the Chinese did this to warn America on a variety of things. And the article, I was a China specialist for a while and have a pretty good understanding of China, like the country a lot. If you're over there in New Zealand, it's, you know, you kind of look up and it's looming over you all the time. But it isn't so much the idea that the Chinese are threatening or showing off or bringing their nuclear submarines right up to the U.S. coast without being seen. It's that the U.S. is so utterly, defense establishment within the U.S. is so utterly clueless that they wouldn't even know how to tell a decent lie anymore. Over the past few weeks, we've had 9/11 begin unraveling here, where major networks are now inviting guests on that are openly stating that 9/11 was a government setup job, and people like Geraldo Rivera, and since this is being heard in the U.S. also, everybody knows what kind of clown that guy is, nodding his head up and down like a little bobblehead thing. A few weeks ago, we had a couple of U.S. intelligence agents on the Napolitano show, also on Fox, trashing 9/11. So it's pretty much getting away. And then, of course, 2 weeks ago in Australia, you know, not far down the road from where you're sitting right now, Kevin Bracken of the Maritime Labor Union got on ABC with John Fain. And Kevin stated that he thought 9/11 was a setup, an inside job with the U.S., and John Fain, an Israeli citizen working in Australia for ABC News, I would say attacked him in what I have to describe as a hideous and irresponsible manner on radio. The first words out of Fain's mouth were, no, Israel didn't do it, and why are you denying the Holocaust? Well, the Holocaust had never been discussed, and no one had mentioned Israel. It's like Fain was having some kind of moment. But the next day, the Herald Sun ran a poll, and something we never do here in the U.S., ask people what they think on real issues. Who believes the government on 9/11? Who believes Kevin Bracken that the U.S. government did it? Well, 10,000 respondents, 77.9% of Australians believe 9/11 was a set-up job by the U.S. government. Where do you Kiwis stand on that?
What do you say, Will?
Well, and great to have your input here, Gordon. Totally. Well, I would say if the same poll were done here in New Zealand, you would see less of a result on 9/11 truth sites, on the 9/11 truth site, because it's seen more as a wacky nutjob theory here than it is, I'd say, even in Australia. Kevin Bracken's a brave man and just an ordinary, down-to-earth guy who came out and said this.
Since 8 of 10 people in Australia, are you saying 8 of 10 Aussies are wacky nutjobs?
I'd say 8 of 10 are probably less propagandized than 8 of 10 over here. I really haven't seen that sort of support for that.
Well, we're keeping some track of you guys on this, too. This is, you know, I just wanted to tell you that. And what's it going to take to bring New Zealand into line with the rest of the world?
Well, I'll tell you what's really interesting right now, Gordon, is the fact that in New Zealand, I've discovered, I've been in the country 3 years now, and I've discovered, and Will, I've never shared this with you on the air, and I've never shared this with you privately ever, and that is the average Kiwi in Auckland, New Zealand, thinks America was like it was when Ronald Reagan was president. It's almost like their eyes glaze over as soon as you mention 9/11. It's like they don't want to talk about it. They cave in. They just want to go back and talk about war and peace.
Yeah, no, it's true, Gordon. You say 9/11 over here, and they go, oh, yeah, I've heard those conspiracy theories. Which one do you believe? Do you believe in the space beams brought the building down? Or, you know, and they're just total cynics. But they don't apply their cynicism.
Oh, yeah, I see. At Veterans Today, and I'll put in my plug here at www.veteranstoday.com, which is the largest military and veterans publication in the world. We have 73 staff writers here, mostly, other than the scum of the earth, a lot of former BBC people come to us, people fired from newspapers, run out of universities, certainly accused of witchcraft. I mean, that's what brings you to Veterans Today. Two of our staff writers have taken positions on this. One is Alan Sabrowski, former head of Mideast Studies at the U.S. War College, and the other is Alan Hart, who was head of the Mideast desk at BBC. And they both tell me that Israel did it. Simple as that. Now, we go from Israel did it to Israel and the people that they have in the U.S. did it. But since a certain number of our editors at VT General Hamid Gul, who was former head of Pakistan's ISI, in September 2001 announced that 9/11 couldn't have been anything but a false flag terror attack done with the full complicity of the U.S. government. But where the issue is going now isn't so much the who, and you know that who can go anywhere. We haven't gotten to tracking down Australia or Singapore or the Koreans or anything. But what we do know is that one of the buildings that was never hit, Building 7, just standing there, apparently blew up. Nothing hit it, and it had a series of explosions around the base, all of it on film. So a lot of Americans believe now, a significant number, we don't know the number, that somebody blew up Building 7. That and the fact that the manager of the complex, Larry Silverstein, went on television and announced that he had Building 7 blown up. Now, the 9/11 Commission said that it caught fire and melted somehow, but they apparently weren't aware of the fact that this guy went on television repeatedly and announced that he arranged to have the building not just pulled, exploded, and brought down because he was afraid of, quote, too much loss of life. Now, it's kind of hard to put that toothpaste back in the tube, but we have the family members of the dead on television here in the U.S. every day now, screaming for an investigation on professionally produced network commercials. So everything here, and where 2 months ago it was different, now we've got the networks all, well, they believe there's money in peddling 9/11. They believe there's money in talking about it. Nobody plans on doing anything about it, but they think they can sell some bubble gum talking about it.
That really is the thing. I just couldn't believe from day one. Here it is. Whenever Bill O'Reilly discussed 9/11, whenever he bags on anyone from Charlie Sheen to Willie Nelson, they would get record viewership. I thought to myself, well, hey, if the system is just about money, surely there's money in talking about 9/11 conspiracy theories because everyone starts listening. And so I thought, you know, which led me to the conclusion, well, hey, it's not just about money. They've got, you know, some political agenda to protect here that's worth more than millions upon millions in advertising revenue.
Well, the issue so that comes down to this this missile today. If China, and we can't prove it's China, but, you know, we have reason to believe, I liked Wayne's article explaining how the Chinese could have done it. We certainly have identified the missile as other than American. We also know it's not French or British, and you only have two other choices. That's China or Russia, so you can choose one or the other. And I'm not sure Russia has any reason. So China is certainly the most likely. And we did identify the missile as an ICBM and of other than U.S. manufacture, and that was done on a technical basis by someone examining the contrails in the missile and making a determination, somebody who knows more about this stuff than I do, about the nature of the fuel cells and how different they are from ours. And the coloration of the fuel cells made it a Chinese missile, according to the U.S. Navy.
Gordon, are you saying that the U.S. military and Navy is hand-tied, that they wouldn't even know this was going on? That's the thing that blows my mind.
We have this thing about submarines and what you can and can't find. And kind of the truth is, and I've worked as a defense contractor for kind of a long time, we tend to lie about what we can find. You know, back when Gorbachev was, subjected to a coup d'etat, one of his first complaints is, you know, here I am trying to bring about glasnost, and I've got the military trying to overthrow my government. The CIA's got these satellites up there. They're supposed to be able to read license plates in Moscow, and they move divisions of troops in, and the CIA doesn't see it. And, you know, frankly, the truth is our intelligence agencies, even if they're not up to the same capability they were during the Cold War, never were that good. And most of what tends to go on for, oh, intelligence, whatever, is nothing but storytelling, mythology. These guys don't have a clue. They couldn't find a submarine if, well, if they sat on one, certainly. They didn't find this one. And all of the rest of it, you know, my opinion, we've been living on the, you know, this area of mutually assured destruction. We believe that we can, well, let's look at terrorism, for instance. People going into airports now in the U.S. are absolutely enraged because they're either being subjected to a backscatter scanner, which is the equivalent of a nude photograph of one of their children, or may very well be cancerous and cancer-causing. And the there is a lot of opinion that, that heads that direction, that you know, waiting in line at an airport is not physically dangerous unless you're wearing a lead suit of some kind, or you're subjected to a hand search that in, that involves probing. And we have people who've submitted cell phone camera films of their children, and it looks to me like assault and sexual abuse, kids screaming and struggling while TSA, Transportation Safety Administration employees are grabbing and probing their genitalia on well, and one in particular, a three-year-old who's a child of a news official. And then we have a similar report in the last day or so from an airline pilot having one of his children searched. So we have a tremendous problem with this. Now, why bother searching anyone in an airport at all when the last time we had a bomb come into the country was the crotch bomber, and he got put on a plane by an airport security officer without a search at all?
Exactly, Gordon. We're going to have to let you go for the break here, but just hideous what's going on, and we'll be right back.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Here, sitting in for Vinnie Eastwood. And we have the senior editor of VeteransToday.com, Gordon Duff, is right here with us. And Gordon was just talking about the TSA and what a bunch of total criminals that become and some of the bad press they've received lately. And isn't it great? It's all coming to light now, Gordon.
Well, we've got an anniversary coming up on the, we call him the crotch bomber, in Detroit, where, now it's one thing, I guess, we're searching three-year-old children with gloves and KY jelly now to make sure that, that they're not hiding things in their underwear. But when a real terrorist wants to get on a plane carrying a bomb, apparently he just walks up to the nearest security officer and says, "I've got no passport, I've got no ticket, I've got no visa, I don't want to be searched, walk me onto a plane." And the guy says, "Okay." I mean, exactly how do these scanners and all these searches take care of that when it seems like anybody that wants to get on a plane with a bomb can? And then, of course, you can always ship bombs inside printer cartridges, And the problem, we're hearing about this every day, but 2 weeks ago, the printer cartridges weren't bombs, and then they were. And then the planes that were carrying the bombs never were really coming to the U.S. anyway. The story's been debunked so many times, but the news keeps resurrecting it again and again and again, and it begins to look to me like somebody is telling the news that they have to dig up and replay this story that was proven false long ago. There were never bombs out of Yemen. There is no Al-Qaeda in Yemen. There has never been an Al-Qaeda in Yemen. The government had announced that some time ago. News media went through Yemen looking for Al-Qaeda, and apparently it's a scam. The government, whenever they want to raise money, they talk about non-existent terrorist organizations, and the U.S. sends them cash. It's like something out of a Peter Sellers movie.
Well, wasn't Bin Laden extradited from Yemen? I mean...
Well, you mean but while he was alive?
Was that, sorry?
Bin Laden died in 2001.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Bin Laden's dead. Wasn't he supposed to...
Of course, we're talking to mostly Americans here, but... I'll bet that's a story that's never gotten out in New Zealand. Is that a good guess?
Well, we can try. We beat our heads up against the wall here. I've sent so many things to local media, and I got one interview, and they didn't even air it.
Well, yeah. I can tell you that I have verified his death with the Director General, the ISI, the U.S. Secretary of Defense, the head of the CIA... And they all say the same thing. Gordon, if we say something about this, we're going to look crazy to people because the news has been saying other stuff for so many years. How do we tell people?
Well, who's making the news say what they say? That's the question there, because I'd say it comes from those intelligence directors.
We do have our ideas about that. The news media.
You also have to remember, Gordon, that America's gone because of the Telecommunications Act that Bill Clinton signed into law in 1996. You watched, Will, as America went from 83 media companies down to 5 or 6. That plays into this whole scam.
Well, to America, from the news media, the great Satan is Rupert Murdoch. And this bill was signed in 1996. But the Telecommunications Act was sponsored by Rupert Murdoch, an Australian of Israeli extraction, which there's a reason for bringing that part of it up. In order to get the cooperation in the U.S. Congress that he wanted, he hired family members of House Speaker Newt Gingrich, agreed to publish Newt Gingrich's book and give him a huge advance. And the Republicans in Congress worked very hard to put enough pressure on President Clinton that nothing in Clinton's agenda would get through until Rupert Murdoch got control of what was then Fox News, which has been, heavens, I used to pick on them all the time, but having negotiations with them on several things right now, so... I should probably just, go hell with it. They're kind of the most nightmarishly abusive, fictional, disgusting form of disinformation and propaganda beyond anything that Hitler had ever seen. I mean, other than that, I don't like them very much.
I love it. So do you think this isn't Rupert Murdoch's world order, though, is it? I mean, who's he working for?
Rupert Murdoch is the money behind Israel's Likud party, the extremist, we call them Zionist supremacists. And Murdoch essentially is the strength, if anything, behind the extreme right-wing fascist movement inside Israel. The problem we have with Israel right now, and this is an area we deal with pretty much all the time. We have quite a division between our own writers, but any liberal and progressive group within Israel has been crushed to the extent that Israel is much as is much like the U.S. was under Bush, a country that's been misled, heavily propagandized, brought to live in terror of Muslims sneaking up on them in the middle of the night. And it's not beyond the realm of possibility that whenever there are terrorist acts in Israel, that they are perpetrated by their own government to control the population. And people who think that anyone who says this is a nut job, well, what do you know about the USS Liberty?
Well, I know that the Israelis fired upon it for some for a matter of hours until another vessel came and witnessed it, and then they had to kind of pretend as if they'd misidentified the U.S. vessel, even though it had a giant flag waving from it.
Now you're aware of the extent of the attack?
Yeah, they blew a giant hole in the hull, didn't they? And
well, I hit it with four torpedoes, 20,000 rounds of cannon fire, 12 napalm bombs, and maybe 200,000 rounds of 50 caliber.
Wow.
This was the world's largest and most modern electronics warfare ship. It was new. And although floating, it looked like a twisted hulk. The orders that Israel had, and very honestly, the U.S. government was fully complicit in this. Admiral McCain, our President Lyndon Johnson, was certainly fully complicit. They were there to kill the entire crew. And that was going to give the U.S. a justification to move troops into Egypt and Syria. But Israel to this day has never apologized. They still try to claim that this U.S. New electronic warfare ship, Navy ship, in international waters that they attacked was an Egyptian cattle barge. Now, why in the name of heaven would 35 or 40 aircraft, 6 torpedo boats, attack an Egyptian, of course, then, the problem we have with this, and this is one issue, one. And then we go to 1982, the Marine barracks in Beirut. Now, Israel admits knowing in advance about the attack on the Marine barracks, 224 U.S. Marines were killed. Now, Israel says they knew in advance, but it wasn't worth the lives of 224 Goyim to inform the U.S. because it would burn one of their spies. What we're now learning, of course, is that the activity itself, the attack on the Marine barracks, was performed by an Israeli unit itself. If they can deny it and they can prove it, let them do so, because they haven't been very good at that, or the USS Liberty, or, well, in Britain, the 7/7 attacks have long been hung around the neck of Tony Blair as a false flag operation. The problem is, how exactly do we get all of these international terrorist organizations, and they all track down to a half a dozen shepherds living somewhere in the mountains of Pakistan that can't read and write, then all of a sudden they reappear halfway around the world and blow things up.
Well, this is it, Gordon. This is it. And I mean, people haven't got the information or, you know, the inclination as you might or I might or Mitch might.
Well, the BBC six years ago.
They believe in this stuff.
In one of the collapses of reality.
There's another issue, too, that's going on, Gordon. This is really scary stuff, mate. September 23rd, 2010. Second session of the U.S. Congress introduces H.R. 206216, which is going to revise, amend Title VI of the Civil Rights Act, that you cannot badmouth anyone of Jewish or Muslim descent in America. And if this bill passes, it is the end of free speech in America.
Well, and see, there's not a chance of it passing because if the media couldn't abuse Muslims,
exactly.
You'd have to shut it down. We get that 24 hours a day here. You can't watch a TV show without watching some Arab sneak into a playground and murder a bunch of children. It goes on continually.
South Park and all Family Guy and all that will be shut down.
I think I was on vacation. I had three consecutive episodes of NCIS Los Angeles. Each one of them had Arab terrorists planning attacks on U.S. civilians in Los Angeles. Three in a row, and of course the terrorists were all, it's always the same actors. I mean, back during World War II, Seso Hayakawa made a living playing evil Japanese officers the same way Conrad Veidt played, you know, the Gestapo officers during the war. You know, you always had to have the bad guy. Now if you look evil, but you can't just look evil. You've got to look evil and have a yet compelling look about you. Because selling the idea of institutionalized terrorism, it may be the only growth industry in the United States. This boogeyman affliction we have. My opinions, and I have the best intelligence resources of probably anybody in the world, and it's not hard to check on. There's no such thing as Al-Qaeda. There never has been. Not one terrorist act in 50 is done by a terrorist. They're all done by governments. Governments have been doing them all along since the U.S. overthrew the government in Iran in 1953 by bombing buses and public buildings over and over. The CIA, the Mossad, certainly...
Operation Ajax you're talking about there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and Operation Gladio, obviously.
Yeah, it's always us. I put up some of the documents on Operation Gladio last week, and this is, you know, kind of a fringe area to talk about. Back during the Cold War, this is what, I guess this is where real research is leading me, and it's not a fun area, and it's not a good radio area, but I'll cut this as short as I can. During the Cold War, the U.S. thought they were going to get their tails kicked by the Russians, and that the Russians were going to take over Europe.
Gordon, again, we've got another break coming through, so best carry this on the other side at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. We'll be right back.
Well, there's only one thing I need to know. Whose side are you on?
Welcome to the world's meeting place. American.
It's practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like very much.
Radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
I got some so-called friends. I'll smile right to my face. All when my back is turned. They like to bury me without a trace. Oh, no, no.
Okay, welcome back.
Oh, no, no.
Welcome back, folks, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. And
with Will,
this is a final short statement. Yeah, this is a final short segment. And Gordon, could you carry on, please, in explaining in a summarized manner the Operation Gladio intelligence killings?
The rationale that it's why we're going there is something few have heard about. During the Cold War, the U.S. believed that the Russians were going to win, and that the U.S. was going to have to, pretty much like the Brits did at Dunkirk, pull our people out into Britain and perhaps back to the U.S. because Britain was going to fall to the Russians also. And so in every country of Europe, including even Switzerland, Austria, countries that weren't in NATO, terrorist organizations were set up to operate behind the Russian lines for when the Russians took over. We were going to start blowing up bridges and attacking soldiers. We left armaments stashed everywhere, bomb-making equipment everywhere, all over Italy, France, Germany, Cyprus, Greece, everywhere. Well, by the 1980s, and we trained all of these people to wait as sleeper agents, pretty much like we see on these TV shows. Well, by the 1980s, these guys had broken off into their own business, had repackaged themselves under names like the Red Brigade and other groups, pretended to be terrorists, and were operating against what they thought. They broadened their franchise. Instead of waiting for the Russians to take over, they got involved in politics in Italy, and Italy has always been a little bit communist. They started kidnapping people. Prime Minister Aldo Moro, they kidnapped and killed American CIA agents. They began blowing up train stations, blowing up buses, a number of terrorist attacks. Now, there are. This is fairly easy for anyone who has internet access. Just type in GLADIO and read about this. There's a wonderful Wikipedia article that will be up until they hear that I've told you to get it. And the problem with this is that it seems that the Operation Gladio people morphed into something else. We now know them as Al Qaeda. These operations, like the hijackers out of Hamburg, they're all operating on the same framework with the same management structure. Al-Qaeda really is nothing. I'm saying it actually is Gladio. It is a NATO organization, and that the terrorist operations that we saw in Madrid, in London, are identical to the 1980s attacks that were performed by NATO, we'll call them rogue NATO agents, who began operating Gladio.
Okay. So you think this is a rogue UN derivative program?
I think it's one that's been taken over by the military-industrial complex, extremist groups within the U.S. that have decided to crash the American economy, crash the U.S. dollar, and turn the U.S. into, you know, that black helicopter FEMA camp operation that, you know, we're supposed to be talking about here on what people tell us is fringe radio. Well, you know, when I hear Alex Jones talking about these things, and I'm usually the guy that says, there are no FEMA camps and whatever, and I'm not so sure anymore. Things have gotten pretty out of hand in the U.S., and I can't legitimately say that the U.S. government is above doing anything. I don't trust them at all. None of us do.
Well, you know, Gordon, I'm really sort of encouraged to see, you know, someone with the background and the expertise of yourself and someone who's in the, who is a veteran, who runs a veteran website, saying this sort of stuff, because we've been called conspiracy theorists, and it's the military and it's people in the military that we really need on side first, is it not? Because they're the ones who have to go out and fight these illegal wars.
Well, years ago, now, if this were 2003, and you talked about the troops and how they were, and the troops had come out and tell you that we're there fighting the terrorists and we're patriots. Well, the troops I see today now, and we're contacted by them continually because we're the people that look out for the troops, their medical care, their psychiatric care, their potential suicides. That's the other thing veterans today does. And The troops are tired of 9 years of war. They're tired of 9 years of being lied to. They're tired of coming home to no jobs. They're tired of a nation that doesn't want to hear about the war on terror anymore. And they're tired of being accused you know, as we see in the WikiLeaks, of being war criminals and baby killers. And you're talking to a Vietnam veteran here who's been called a war criminal and baby killer more than once in his life.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, they had got the Gulf of Tonkin incidents to get that kicked off, didn't they, Gordon? And, you know, that's beyond the average troop's control. And we need to start taking this back, and I'm pleased to see that there are, you know, veteran groups all over the world now waking up to this stuff, and, you know, a lot of the shenanigans that have gone on between supposedly opposing governments and their little Ponzi terror ops that drag us all into their control. But anyway, we are out of time today, it seems. The websites are thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, americanfreedomradio.com, and our great guest today, Gordon Duff.
And Gordon, will you come back on the show with when Vinny's on, so you can share some of this with Vinny as well?
Yeah, I think I'm having one of those moments today. It's with what you guys are seeing. I mean, I feel overwhelmed by this. I have no faith in the general American populace because, as you've been told so many times, you've been out here for years telling people the truth. Anybody but the totally brain dead have to know that by now. And there are still people out there that you have to convince, and you're convincing them to aid and enhance their own survival.
That's it, Gordon. Hey, and thank you very much for coming on today, and we'll have you back on in the future. That's Gordon Duff there, folks. Thanks very much. We'll see you tomorrow.
We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks.